The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with him a word with him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus said, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, a happy Palm Sunday again. It's a wonderful day that we get to remember the day of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, people singing Hosanna, shouting it, saying, come and save us, knowing that a special individual had come. We hear in our readings that they didn't understand quite how special he was and what exactly he had come to do. It was a big celebration. It was a parade. It was wonderful. And they had no idea just how great it actually was. They were doing their absolute best to give glory and honor and praise to Jesus. They who were throwing out their palm branches and their cloaks, making a way for him to come into the city, treating him like a king. It's ironic that we also see in our reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, which will come right after this message, in place of the Apostles' Creed this week, we will see that all this glory and praise and honor they're giving Jesus is not something he came for and not something he was looking for. We see that Jesus came for the very specific purpose of being a servant both to the Father and to you and me. And so here they're praising him, treating him like a king, but that's not what he came for. That's not what he's looking for in this moment. A little bit of a Greek study for you guys today, because they're fun words to know. That idea of being a servant, the word there is doulos, which is the same word we use for slave. This servant is not just a nice, well-to-do butler to be found in Downton Abbey. They are not very, proper and well cared for, well maintained. This is someone who is there to serve at the lowest levels of service. Someone who might even be considered a slave in certain situations. Same word, same purpose. You would treat them well, of course, but this is a low position for an individual who is not to be glorified and honored. That's why he came. He came to be that person. This is the same God who is in the very nature God, the same form of God, who chose to add to himself the very nature of a man, and not just of a glorified and wonderful kingly man, but of a servant. The most glorified individual has become the most low, the greatest servant of all. And yet, in that service, we see his glory come. I'll read to you now, which we'll say together as our affirmation of the faith we have, from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, a doulos. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That happens to be my favorite section of Scripture, so I just wanted to say it an extra time because I like it so much. It's my favorite section of Scripture because it so clearly lays out exactly why Jesus came and what he came to do. In being a servant, in being the lowest of the low, obedient to the Father in all things, obeying every dot every line of the law, everything perfectly. He was then obedient even to death, death on a cross. And in that moment, where he was fully obedient, that's when the Father glorified him, greater than anyone could be glorified. In our gospel reading, some Greeks come to visit Jesus. They want to see him. They hear he's a special guy who's doing amazing things, and they've traveled from a long way away. They come up to him, and they find Philip, who's one of his disciples. Could we see Jesus, please? Could you fit us in around 2 o'clock? Philip's like, oh, that's above my pay grade. I'll go talk to Andrew. Goes and gets Andrew. Andrew, could they fit in? Could they see Jesus? Would that be okay? He's a busy guy. So Philip and Andrew then lead them to Jesus. And they happen to show up on a pretty great day. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. If you remember back to his first public miracle, public sign, all the way back at the wedding in Cana, his mom, Mary, comes to Jesus and says, we're at this wedding feast, and they've run out of wine. Very big, very important problem. That's not today's gospel reading. We won't get into it too much today. But she asks Jesus, can you help him? Make it happen. Figure out the problem. And Jesus says, my hour is not yet come. Mary looks past Jesus and looks to the other doulos. Listen to him. Do whatever he tells you to do. Doesn't answer Jesus and just goes off and lets him figure it out. And he then does this great miracle, which blesses the family there in a great way. Turns the water into wine. Very exciting. At the beginning of this earthly ministry here, Jesus had said, my hour is not yet come. And now, the hour has come. The time has come where the Son of Man would be glorified. Another Greek word for you, a very exciting Greek word. The word is doxa. Perhaps if I say the word doxa, meaning glory, it might sound like something that some of you might know, especially if you like singing a particular church song, the doxology. The doxology, where we sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We are giving glory to God when we sing that. The doxology is one where we glorify his name, praising him and singing together. I won't make our music director, Dr. Borecki, listen to us attempt to do it a cappella right now with no training. You're welcome. Maybe we'll plan it for next time. This same time next year. It'll be good. The doxology, the doxa of glorifying God, this is a big deal for the church. We glorify our God who loves us. We glorify our Savior Jesus who died for us on the cross, that our sins would be paid for and we would be given that perfect servant life that he lived. We glorify his name because the Father has glorified it. As Jesus speaks to the Father, he says, for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Even as Jesus is there to serve and to die for us, he's not looking for glory for himself. He's saying, glorify your name, Father. And then we get a really awesome experience here. One that we talk about when Jesus is baptized and we picture that wonderful time where everyone's in the water. Jesus has been baptized. You see the angel coming down like a dove and you hear the voice of the Father in heaven. This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. The same thing happens. Jesus is praying. This is not long before he's going to die. He says, the hour has come. I've come to this moment. Father, glorify your name. Use my life as a servant, he says, to glorify yourself, to show these people just how much you love them and just how far you're willing to go to bring them back into the family with you. And they hear the voice again. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. God the Father has let us see his glory, his majesty in snippets and peaks throughout history. He says, I will glorify it again in this hour that is coming, this time that is almost here. This Palm Sunday, we're all very excited because Holy Week is here. We're getting excited. We're singing glory to God. We're praising him. We're waving palm branches. I don't see anyone grabbing an eye. I don't think anyone got hit in the face on their way in here. We've done great. We gave glory to God as we walked into church. We give glory to God every time we're here. We want to glorify his name. We want to praise him. We worship him. Because we know that he has a name that is worthy of being glorified. When the Father says, I will glorify it again, he said that pointing to the hour, the very moment when Jesus would die on the cross for you and for me. In that moment, when the doulos, the perfect servant, became the doxa, the one glorified, the one raised up for all to see that they would have life in his name. That is the greatest moment of seeing God's glory throughout history. That is the greatest time the world has ever seen the glory of God. Not in his strength, not in his ability to separate waters or fill the whole world up with water, not in his ability to send plagues on those who deserved them, not in his ability to create the whole world. The greatest moment of both giving glory to the name of the Father is the greatest moment when we see the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. The one who was the doulos, who was glorified, doxed, given glory by people as he came into Jerusalem in a fully humanly manner, glorifying him to the ability of knowing that he could be a great king or a great prophet. That glory was not enough. God the Father then showed us just how much glory Jesus needs to be given, how much we should give him because of all that he's done for us. That doulos turned doxa, turned glorified, is the one who we praise, the one who we turn to in all situations, the one who we know loves us and has forgiven us for all of our sins. This Holy Week, as we get ready for, as Marty so clearly said, thank you, it's a good plug, as we get ready to celebrate Maundy Thursday, the Lord's Last Supper, as we celebrate Good Friday, the day where it was so good that Jesus died for us, where his glory was shown in defeating sin and death. The same week where we get to celebrate his resurrection from the dead, that death would have no dominion over him, that it would have no power over him. What a great week. And so as we did give our glory to him just now, as we did glorify God, doxa him, both in our song and our walking in, as we sang, all glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. We are following the footsteps of all of creation, everything in earth and in heaven that would give glory to the name of Jesus, the one who only sought to glorify the Father, the one whose name is spoken over you and given to you in baptism, the one who has made us God's children, pure and holy. To him be all praise and honor and glory. And may the peace of knowing him and of glorifying him guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.